Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
If you look through American history, you'll notice something. Some of the most notorious lawbreakers never saw the inside of a prison cell. In the 70s, President Richard Nixon attempted to cover up the Watergate break-in and spy on the Democratic National Committee. That violated federal law. In the 1980s, senior Reagan administration officials secretly sold arms to Iran in exchange for U.S. hostages and diverted those profits to fund anti-communist rebels in Nicaragua. Of course, President Bill Clinton lied under oath. He never went to jail. There were some convictions. Nearly everyone, though, was pardoned. And again, none of them saw the inside of a cell. That's part of what Glenn Greenwald calls America's two-tiered justice system. And it's the focus of his book, which is now out in paperback, With Liberty and Justice for Some, How the Law is Used to Destroy Equality and Protect the Powerful. Glenn is also a contributor to Salon.com. Welcome to the show. Nice to see you.
Great to be here.
Let's talk about the two tiers. And I want you to be really explicit about who's included in the top tier and who the rest of them are.
Well, the book really arose out of the work that I've been doing over the last several years with regard to the clear-cut criminality during the Bush era, both in the government sector in terms of the implementation of a worldwide torture regime, spying on American citizens without the warrants required by the criminal law, rendering people, putting them in prison without any charges, and then, of course, the systemic financial fraud on Wall Street that precipitated the 2008 financial crisis. These are some of the most egregious crimes that can possibly be committed by the country's political and economic elite, and yet there has been zero legal accountability from any of that. And yet at the very same time that this system of extreme impunity has been instituted for the nation's most powerful political and financial actors, we have implemented a penal system that is by far the most oppressive and the harshest of any country in the West. We imprison more of our citizens than any country on the planet by far, for longer periods of time, for more trivial transgressions than any Western country. And it's really this extraordinary disparity between how elites in the United States are treated when they get caught breaking the law versus how ordinary Americans are that has created this massive perversion of the rule of law.
But Martha Stewart went to jail. Bernie Madoff is in jail for the rest of his life.
Yeah, I mean, you can certainly find exceptions that sort of prove the rule. I mean, if elites engage in certain kinds of criminality that's, you know, in isolated cases that's very flamboyant, you can get individual prosecutors who are interested. I mean, it's not an absolute rule that if you're rich, you never are prosecuted. It's a generalized trend that part of the elite class. And I think the other thing to note is that when the crimes are individual, you know, you have like a Rod Blagojevich in Illinois or Enron officials, you know, there's sort of two exceptions. One, it's sort of an isolated case of criminality, you can get a prosecutor who gets interested in the case, or when the grievance themselves are also elites. I mean, people lost a lot of money on Enron from Enron, the Enron fraud on Wall Street. Lewis Libby was prosecuted because the CIA was furious about the leak of Valerie Plame's identity,
Scooter
things
Libby,
like that.
Right.
Yeah, you find exceptions. But as a general proposition, when the political or financial class acts together and commits crimes, that's when this impunity seeks in.
A lot of your research is, especially recently in your recent book, is about how we try terrorist suspects, how we detain them, and how we interrogate them. Why is this particular topic? Because a lot of people would argue that this is a subject on which the law isn't entirely clear. It's not settled. And so it's difficult to make an argument about lawbreakers or upholding the law, what's upholding it and what isn't.
Right. I mean, I think there's certain cases where there's zero ambiguity. So, for instance, torturing, things like waterboarding and coercive techniques have been prosecuted by the United States for centuries when done by foreign soldiers, when even done by law enforcement agents in the United States. Condemning other countries for engaging in these practices and calling them criminal is something the State Department has done. Eavesdropping on Americans without warrants, you look at the criminal law and it simply says as clearly as it can, if you engage in surveillance without going to the FISA court, you are committing a felony punishable by 5 years in prison and $10,000 fine for each offense. And so these laws in many cases are clear-cut and ambiguous. The question of what rights accused terrorists are entitled to in terms of due process are things that are evolving and are things that you can make an argument about, but there's lots of people who are prosecuted under ambiguous circumstances and prosecutors take positions. So even in those cases where there's ambiguity, that's certainly no bar to prosecution when it comes to people whose names we don't know.
But let's take a listen here to Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who says that, in fact, We need to bend the rules to a certain extent in order to remain safe. Here he is.
Al-Qaeda terrorists should not receive more rights than a Nazi war criminal. And now is not the time to go back to the pre-9/11 mentality of fighting crime instead of fighting a war.
Your response?
Well, I mean, the idea that Al-Qaeda poses any sort of threat comparable to the Nazis is just hysteria and paranoia. And this is what people have been doing, you know, for since governments existed, in order to scare populations and put them in fear and allow people in power to break rules, is saying that we need to do it for your own good. I mean, this is just basic corruption and lawlessness 101. This is the argument that's always made. There's absolutely no reason why the United States, which was able to stay safe when there were intercontinental ballistic missiles pointed at the country in the thousands during the Soviet era, suddenly has to vest political leaders with the power to break the law in order to keep us safe from roving bands of stateless terrorists.
We're speaking with Glenn Greenwald. His new book is out in paperback. It's called With Liberty and Justice for Some, How the Law is Used to Destroy Equality and Protect the Powerful. To a certain extent, we expect that, though, Glenn. I mean, that's no surprise that if you have money, you can hire the best attorneys.
Right.
You know, you can get the best defense. If you're going with the public defender, you're probably in trouble.
Right. Well, this is, you know, I think the argument that is at the center of the book, which is it's always been true, obviously, in the United States, that this ideal that we're all equal before the law has been violated in all kinds of ways. And as you say, if you're rich and powerful, you've always had advantages in the legal system compared to being, say, poor and marginalized. But what has really happened over the past several decades, and I trace it back to the Ford pardon of Nixon, is that we don't just now have periodic violations of the principle of the rule of law, that we're all treated equally and playing by the same set of rules, which is, you know, the kind of legitimizing anchor for a democracy. It's much worse than that. There's a set of arguments, a mindset that if you're sufficiently instrumental in the society, if you're an important enough political or financial actor, that when you get caught breaking the law, prosecution is actually inappropriate, that it's actually more important for the country to be able to move beyond its problems, to fix the things that have gone wrong, to avoid the divisiveness and disruption that comes from prosecuting high-level people. And there's a whole set of arguments that were pioneered during the Ford pardon of Nixon that now get hauled out each time, you know, the examples that you cited at the beginning, each time we go to shield the most powerful people from criminal accountability. Well, they've suffered enough. It's more important that we look forward, not backward.
We need to heal the country.
The country. And so it's not just that we're violating the rule of law in individual cases like we've always done throughout our history. It's that we're really, as a political and media class, starting to expressly repudiate the principle itself. And that, I think, is the radical difference.
But how do you extend this to Private Bradley Manning? He's the young man who's accused of leaking thousands upon thousands of documents to WikiLeaks, and thereby, many people in the government have said, endangering the United States. How is he part of the, I guess, abused lower class?
Well, I mean, if you look at what the Obama administration has done over the last 3 years, they have simultaneously waged this very intense and actually unprecedented war on leakers and whistleblowers, prosecuting people at double the rate of all previous administrations combined. And yet, at the same time, Obama officials themselves continuously leak classified information to all sorts of media outlets with the express purpose of glorifying the president and politically benefiting him. And yet the idea that we would prosecute high-level Obama officials in the White House or elsewhere for those leaks is something that people don't even think about. It's inconceivable because they're leaking in order to glorify the government. It's only people who sort of low-level people like Bradley Manning who end up leaking in a way that embarrasses the United States government or exposes wrongdoing, corruption, and deceit who end up being prosecuted. And so it's really very much an expression of this two-tiered system as much as anything. The fact that if you're a leaker and at high enough levels in the government and are leaking for propagandistic purposes, you are shielded even though you're violating the same laws as lower-level leakers are.
Although it seems like only the Supreme Court would have the power to make any changes to what you're talking about.
Well, I think that, you know, the Justice Department would, and the American citizenry always has the power to demand changes. And I think things like you've seen, like the Occupy movement and even the Tea Party, have been very much driven by this growing anger over this inequity, the idea that only the rich and powerful get the benefits of law and everybody else gets crushed by it.
Glenn Greenwald is the author of With Liberty and Justice for Some, How the Law is Used to Destroy Equality and Protect the Powerful. One of several books he's written. They're all great. He's also a contributor to Salon.com. Glenn, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Great to be here. Thank you.